Now it's CSL, Charlotte Sports Live.
Right now on CSL, the North Carolina Tar Heels wave goodbye to Durham and say hello to the number one seed in the ACC tournament. But that doesn't mean they're a lock to win it all in Washington, D.C.
And Christopher Bell gets Toyota on the board in the Valley of the Sun. We recap his first ever win at Phoenix.
And with that, welcome into an action-packed Charlotte Sports Live on this Sunday night. A full hour, Gabe McDonald standing alongside Grace Grill, and we are with you for the next hour, so buckle up, my friends.
Yeah, in women's hoops, we had two Carolina teams playing for a conference championship today. Plus, there's a new college basketball tournament that's trying to steal some of the spotlight from March Madness. But first, news involving a Panthers fan favorite. It appears Bradley Bozeman has played his last game for Carolina. A report from Ian Rappaport of the NFL Network said today that the Panthers plan to release their veteran center on Wednesday, the official start of the 2024 league year. Bozeman spent 2 years with Carolina playing in 34 games. His first season with the squad was good, and that earned him a new contract, but his second year was a little bit of a different story. The 29-year-old allowed 8 sacks as he struggled under Carolina's new blocking scheme. Now, a separate report from ESPN says the decision to cut Bozeman was strictly performance-based and not due to his $1.5 million deal. The move will reportedly save the Panthers $360,000. So obviously, I think this is just one of those players that him and his wife, Nikki, were just from the start. I don't think there's not many athletes and their family that come in and just completely embrace a city and do so much good for a city. And of course, that's what we're talking about tonight, because it's sad to see those types of people go. But on the other hand, you do see the Panthers making a focus on this position, which is going to be crucial for Bryce Young in his year two. And it's kind of good to see them take that seriously.
It's key. I mean, you have to make that investment. He is the guy that you gave up the farm to go get. You have to protect him. And last season, Bradley Bozeman didn't do the best job doing that. Now, I think you go back to the 2022 season, a different blocking scheme, more downhill power game. That's what he's better at as a bigger guy, but the more zone scheme, more going east to west, and that different blocking scheme, not really his strength, and that's something that Dave Canales wants to do. And the thing with Dave Canales, he comes in with no emotional attachment to these guys. So he's like, hey, I'm coming in, I'm evaluating everybody from top to bottom. If you don't fit what we want to do, because we want to win here and get this franchise back on track, then we're likely going to have to part ways. But of course, what he and his wife did in the community, it's great to see. But of course, you know, these are the tough decisions that teams have to make in times like this.
Well, you talk about the quarterback being obviously like one of the top positions on the field, but that goes hand in hand with the center. And really, you could argue that Carolina has not had stability there since Orion Khalil, right? So that's something that, okay, if they're going to, not only are they're still evaluating Bryce because you don't really know what you got from him last year because he didn't have that type of protection, but you probably want to get that in right now.
No, absolutely. And one of the benefits, too, is this draft is very deep at that position, but you also have some solid free agent centers as well. So they kind of have their option on what they want to do, if they want to go with the younger guy or more of a veteran, but definitely priority here in free agency and the offseason as we move forward to the beginning of the new league year. On to basketball, the North Carolina Tar Heels headed to the start of the postseason with all the momentum. Last night, UNC clinched its conference best 33rd ACC title, and they did it in their ideal scenario, beating their rivals Duke and Durham in the season finale by winning their first league title in 5 years. The Tar Heels are also the top seed for this week's ACC tournament in Washington, D.C. There's the entire ACC tournament bracket. North Carolina, of course, the top dogs. Duke right behind them in the 2 seed. Wake Forest is a 5 seed. Clemson, the 6 seed. And NC State is the 10 seed. North Carolina and Duke, they won't have to play their first games until Thursday, thanks to both teams earning a double bye, finishing first and second. Our Mike Lissette is here with the bracket breakdown ahead of this week's tournament.
Guys, the ACC tournament is what North Carolinians live for. Although this year, unless they're traveling, they will not be able to take it in live. Widely regarded as the home of the ACC tournament, the conference is once again bucking the Greensboro Coliseum as well as tradition by taking this year's event to the nation's capital for just the second time ever.
A deep one. Knocks it down!
But as they say, the more things change, the more they stay the same, with North Carolina going in as the tournament top seed.
I don't know what word to be able to explain the joy of having a front row seat to see these kids experience this.
The Tar Heels figure to be the team to beat, but that's not to say they're unbeatable. A third straight win over Duke won't be easy, especially since the Blue Devils have won the tournament a conference best 22 times.
I feel everything here is what we can control. I really do. Like, this group can do it.
Then again, there's always a chance we can see a completely different final. Who's going to be there? Your guess is as good as mine. Virginia's always a good pick, but this year the third seed Cavs come in losers of 3 of 4. Perhaps a good backup choice would be 4 seed Pitt instead. Though the Panthers have never won the conference tournament, they come in smoking winners of 9 of their last 11 and have their first double bye in program history.
Carrington, way too easy.
Meanwhile, Clemson and Wake Forest are long shots, but they each have the advantage of a first-round bye, which, however, cannot be said for NC State, who are a 10 seed and would have to go wire-to-wire to win the event.
Into double coverage.
But there's always hope, and history is on their side, as they found themselves in the very same spot in 2007, going all the way to the final game before losing to North Carolina.
They are the outright ACC regular season champions.
So in a sense, in the ACC, it does always come back to tradition, even when the conference tries its best to change things up. And the fun begins for NC State Tuesday. They have Louisville in the opening round at 4:30. I'm Mike Lissette, Charlotte Sports Live.
Appreciate it, Mike. And, of course, this is always the best time of the year. And I think this is one of those tournaments where you can throw the records out. Of course, Carolina coming in as a top seed, they'll have the double bye. But some of those teams may be a dark horse. I think Virginia, with the way they play defense each and every year, I know they're kind of in a slump right now, but I think that's a team that could possibly turn things on here in the tournament.
No way. I will never take Virginia. I'm sorry. Virginia, when I played basketball, my coach had this saying. It was like, you know, offense wins games, but defense wins championships. And I'm like, that is such crap, because in March you need to score buckets. And Virginia just never shows the ability to do that. And they proved it this season as well. So it's so funny you mentioned that up. I try to stay far away from Washington, D.C., but I wish I was there this week, because I think this is going to be a really, really good tournament because there's so many good teams that I think can upset, right? I do think, if we're talking Duke and Carolina, me and Mike were talking on the show either yesterday or before, and he said, I think whoever won on Saturday was the opposite was going to win the championship. Like, he thought it was going to be between those two. But I actually do think that the tournament is set up a little bit better for Duke with their seeding, just because I think that puts Carolina in a position to maybe get a desperate team like Wake.
True.
And not to call them desperate,
Wake's
because that's
out.
A very, very good team. So this could be exciting.
It's another team that could be a dark horse tournament. It's going to be fun this week. While the ACC tournament starts this week, the Sun Belt tourney is close to wrapping up. Top seed of App State facing Arkansas State in the semifinals today. The Mountaineers, they worked their way back after trailing by as much as 11. Justin Absent going up with a two-hand jam. The Mountaineers, that's their first lead since the 14:44 mark of the first half. A few minutes later, it's Absent. This time, you know, showing some love, feeding Miles Tate on the wing, and he's money from long range. Tate with 11 points off the bench. App State increases its lead to 2 with 2.5 to play. But those Red Wolves don't take long to respond. Caleb Fields showing off the quickness and finishing at the hoop through contact. And just like that, we're tied up at 65. Fields led all scorers with 23. Under 30 seconds to go, last chance for the Mountaineers. Miles Tate puts it up from mid-range, can't get it to fall, and that would set up this. Coming out of the timeout, Arkansas State's Freddie Hicks pump fakes, puts it up in at the horn, and it falls. A thrilling end to Pensacola that unfortunately doesn't go App State's way. The Mountaineers fall 67-65. Now we wait to see if they get an at-large bid to the big dance next week.
Yeah, that is a very good team. You guys know I was locked into this one. ACC Women's Championship. Notre Dame seeking its first title since 2019. Meanwhile, NC State seeking its fourth title in the last 5 years. Second quarter, Zoe Brooks with a no-look pass to Isaiah James. NC State down 1. Final seconds of the second. Hannah Hidalgo hits from 3. And Notre Dame takes a 6-point lead at the half. So let's move to the third quarter. 1-point game. Backdoor cutter dumps it to Hannah Baldwin. She led the way for the Pack with 14 points, and she gives NC State a 1-point lead. We go to the fourth. Irish down 3. Maddie Westfeld says no problem, and we are tied back up at 49. Gosh, this was just such a good game.
Back and forth, yeah.
Still tied late in the fourth quarter. Who else? Hannah Hidalgo, talk to me, the Wooden Award finalist with a game-high 22 points. And Neela Ivey loves it. Her first title as Notre Dame's head coach, the Irish ACC champs, 55-51 over NC State.
Now to the showdown in Greenville. The reigning national champs from LSU with the SEC Player of the Year, Angel Reese, taking on unbeaten South Carolina in the SEC title game. We jump to the second half. Gamecocks with a double-digit lead. The freshman, Malaysia Fulwiley, with the steal. She goes coast to coast and lays it in, telling Haley Van Lith, hey, you're a little too small in the process. Game high 24 points off the bench for Fulwiley. Back come the Tigers in the fourth, just a 5-point game now. Angel Reese getting the bucket there, part of a 7-0 run for LSU to bring them back within 3 points of Carolina. Just a couple minutes later, we would see chaos, folks. Fulwiley and Flaje Johnson get tied up at half court, and here's a closer look at what ensued after. Johnson with a shove to South Carolina's Ashlyn Watkins. Then we see Camilla Cardoso pushing Johnson to the ground. Bench is clear. We even see a fan come out of the stands and over the scorer's table. Cardoso would be disqualified, and we'd see other ejections as well. Both teams would have to finish the game with five players each. But we play on. Just over 2 minutes to go, Angel Reese takes it to the rack for another bucket. 15 points and 13 boards for the SEC Player of the Year. Tigers back within five, but then the Gamecocks would ice the game with seconds to go. Full Wiley sinks both of her free throws, ice in her veins to put South Carolina back up by nine. And despite the late game incident, this one was still a thriller, folks. South Carolina comes out on top, 79-72. The Gamecocks remain unbeaten and win their eighth SEC tourney in the last 10 years.
Dominant. All right, well, the American Athletic Conference women's basketball tournament happening out in Fort Worth, Texas. The Charlotte 49ers in the second round tonight against Tulane, and they are having a hard time out there tonight. They enter the fourth quarter down 55-36.
All right, from the hardwood to the racetrack, the early season West Coast swing a bit shorter this year. The Cup Series making its way to Phoenix this weekend for the first short track style race of the season. With that comes new challenges and another great race during the early part of the 2024 circuit. Phoenix Raceway, the site of the Cup Series championship. Today it hosted the Shriners Children's 500. Denny Hamlin leading the field to green today. First time a Toyota has done so this year. We saw our first caution early on. Derek Krause spins out going into the back stretch. Austin Dillon with nowhere to go. Austin Cindric also in the mix. Cindric today was done early. The number three team bringing out the hammer to try to keep Dillon in the race. He would actually finish 31st. We mentioned those Toyotas. They were strong in the desert. Tyler Reddick takes stage one in Phoenix, his first stage win of the season and first by a Toyota driver. Late in stage two, it's Reddick and Christopher Bell battling for the lead. Bell goes low, makes the pass coming out of turn two, and Bell will go on to take stage two. That brings us to stage three now. Lap 205, Reddick back in the lead. John Hunter Nemechek gets into the back of Joey Logano. He ends up spinning out and has major damage. Corey LaJoy in the mix as well in the seven car. Logano's day would be done after that wreck. About 10 laps later, we see another yellow. Reddick and his 2311 co-owner Danley Hamlin in a battle. Light contact will cause Hamlin to spin out. No major damage to the 11. However, he would finish 11th after being on the pole this afternoon. And that would make way for another Toyota to take the lead. How about Martin Truex Jr. in front with 41 laps to go, but he has to head to the pits under green for new tires, which would give Bell the lead once again, and Bell would go on to close out the race strong and take the checkered flag. Christopher Bell in the 20, your winner in Phoenix for the first time this season.
This one feels really good, and just a credit to Adam, man. Adam, White Knight, William, my engineers, my crew chief, and all the mechanics on this thing. You don't get cars like that very often, as you know. So just super, super proud to be on this 20 car. You know, this Ream Camry was amazing today, and I feel like we have capability of running races like this a lot. So hopefully this is the first of many this year.
Bell's win caps off a dominant day for the Toyotas as Toyota drivers led all but 14 laps in the entire race. We'll go short track racing again next weekend as NASCAR heads to Bristol for the fifth race of the year. Well, mobile sports betting is here. You can place your first bets in North Carolina starting tomorrow. And some famous former Panthers are chiming in on bets involving the black and blue.
Plus, paid to play. Several men's basketball blue bloods in talks to join a first-of-its-kind tournament that puts name, image, and likeness money right into the players' pockets. Keep it here. Charlotte Sports Live is back in two. Back here on Charlotte Sports Live. Well, in case you've been living under a rock, mobile sports betting in North Carolina launches tomorrow, and one of the most popular online sports books is partnering with the Carolina Panthers. Earlier this week, FanDuel and Carolina kicked off their new partnership at Bank of America Stadium, and Mike Lissed got to talk about it with one of Carolina's favorite guys.
All right, Luke Kuechly, exciting times here in North Carolina. You got sports betting going live. How excited are you to be partnering with FanDuel?
Well, I think it's great. I think, you know, you look at what they've been able to do, how they bring the entertainment side to sports, but also linking up with the Panthers. I think that's the part that's cool is, you know, Stu and I have spent our careers here. We've had such good memories here, and it seems like a very natural thing for us to link up with those guys that you can turn around and you can see the Panthers' heads right by FanDuel. So, like we were talking about, it opens up on Monday the 11th, and we're excited about it.
What's the weirdest, just not necessarily professional betting, but what's the weirdest thing you ever bet on in your life?
Oh my gosh.
I know you're playing, you can't do it when you're playing, but just curious, growing up, what's the weirdest thing you ever bet on?
I think when you're a little kid, your betting games change a lot. When you're a kid, it's you're shooting, you know, your lunch bag, your crumbled up brown paper lunch bag into the trash can for potato chips.
Yeah.
And then as you get older, obviously that changes a little bit.
Let's do some Panthers bets now.
Okay.
6 wins next year. Over, under?
I'm taking the over. I think we're going to make a step. I think Bryce is going to make big improvements going into year two. And then the most exciting part of the year is kicked off. Obviously, combine, free agency gets rolling next week. And then you've got the draft. And then game on. And then our roster kind of gets built.
Yep. All right, that's good. One bet. You got the draft coming up. Everyone's talking about needs for the Panthers. Wide receivers, one. Offensive linemen, two. If you're going to put your money down, that 33rd pick, what position are the Panthers going with?
You know what? If you know, you get into the argument of, all right, what do you draft? Do you draft need or do you draft best player available? And I think you start to get to that point in the draft. You got to draft the best guy available, right? So whether that's, you know, I mean, you're not going to draft a running back. We've got some good running backs, but you know, you look at offensive line, you look at tight end, you look at wide receiver. Those are some very easy spots for us to draft that can help us quickly.
Last question sort of gets away from betting, but I got to know, linebacker to linebacker, Brian Bird's got franchise tagged. What are your thoughts on the matter in terms of what it means to his future here in Carolina?
I'm excited that, you know, we've got him signed up for this year. The one thing with Brian that I don't know how much people talk about, but he's a great dude. He's a great teammate. He works his butt off. He's tough. And I think that's something that sometimes gets overlooked with guys.
You get him this year, the Carolina Panthers do, but then what about like Biondi? Let's bet here. Do you think, what are the chances? Yeah. And what are the chances Brian Burns with the Panthers 2025?
Oh, man. You know what? I'd love to have him around. I don't know what those chances are. I'm sure it'll get some clarity here in the next couple weeks. But like I said, you can't have too many guys that are built like Brian Burns, just as far as a person, right? Obviously a fantastic player. We'd love to have him. I'd love to have him as a teammate forever. He's one of the, when he came in as a rookie, he did things, they just do things the right way. So I root for those guys. I want him on our roster. He's a fantastic player. He means a lot to our team, so I hope we can keep him around.
Well, the Panthers, we're lucky to have you, and now FanDuel is lucky to have you too.
There
so
we go. Good, appreciate it.
Awesome time in Carolina.
Thank you very much.
All right, so a total of 8 sports books have been approved to operate in the Tar Heel State. You can sign up now on their websites or apps if you want to get a head start. The launch comes just ahead of the ACC basketball tournament and less than a week before Selection Sunday for March Madness. And speaking of major money in college sports, a new in-season tournament is reportedly coming for men's college basketball.
Yeah, teams get to get up to $2 million, and the money would actually end up in the players' pockets. Queen City News reporter Shakira Speaks tells us what this means for athletes in their name, image, and likeness deals.
Next season, men's college basketball players may have one more opportunity to put money in their pockets. An in-season tournament will reportedly feature 8 teams in 2024, and possibly more in 2025. Each participating team is guaranteed at least $1 million in NIL dollars, and $1 million more dollars if they win. Programs will hand out the cash as they see fit.
It's the newest thing in NIL and the ever-changing landscape of college athletes.
According to Front Office Sports, the tournament will be called Players Era at MGM Arena in Las Vegas. Big names like Duke, Virginia, and Kansas are already projected to be the first few teams joining.
What's going to need to be amended is teams can only do one MTE event a season. That's a multi-team event. And there's some teams that have been invited to the Players Era that are going to have to withdraw from the MTE event that they're already participating in.
And it changes individual NIL deals as well.
It takes NIL to the next level yet again. You know, it allows these universities to boost their NIL coffers. The issue I see as a sports attorney is it even NIL? Because it sure looks like pay to play to me, which of course is banned.
Zanoni says it will heavily affect recruiting.
Kids want to know two things when they sign up to play for school. How much playing time am I going to get? And how much money am I going to make? How do you recruit against that if you're not invited to play in that tournament?
On Friday, Governor Roy Cooper took executive action rescinding state rules guiding NIL compensation issued in July 2021 after the NCAA announced it would allow NIL payments to college athletes. His action in 2021 helped North Carolina universities remain competitive once NIL was allowed for college athletes.
It's the first, but it's certainly not the last. I mean, this is the future.
Reporting in Charlotte, Shakira Speaks, Queen City News.
Appreciate it, Shakira. The Mac Jones era in New England has come to an end, but the sun, it will shine again, especially where he's heading. Mac Jones is headed home, and Baker Mayfield is staying in Tampa with the Big Bucks. We'll talk NFL quarterback news of the day just ahead on CSL.
And Charlotte baseball was home at the Hays today, trying to hand Maryland its first weekend series loss of the season. And that is all on deck here on Charlotte Sports Live. We'll be right back. Well, take me to Tampa, where the Braves were taking on the Yankees this afternoon, and that was quite a crack from Sean Murphy. And that will sit deep in the corner left field for a bases-clearing double. Three on the board for the Braves in the top of the first. 6-4 now in the bottom of the fourth, and Juan Soto gets every bit of that baseball. As Michael Kay would say, see ya. Yankees take the lead with Soto's fourth home run of the spring. And I know it's spring, but guys, the man is batting 500 in Tampa, and that just makes my little Yankee heart so happy. Yankees win 9-8 over the Braves. All right, well, Charlotte baseball was back home at the Hays this weekend for a weekend series against Maryland. The Niners took down the Terps on Friday, and they'd play two today since Saturday was a washout. And what a gorgeous day for baseball. It does not get any better. Charlotte hosting Maryland, a team that's off to an 11-3 start and has not lost a weekend series so far this season. Already up 4 in the third, Elijah Lambros deep to left field and gone. Two-run home run makes it 6-0 Terps. Bottom of the inning, Carson Bain with a runner on third. He gets some air on that one. It'll score Thad Ector. And that'll get Charlotte on the board. All right, Niners get another in the bottom of the fifth, but game one does go to Maryland, who scores 13 runs on 13 hits. Terps take it 13-2. So series win on the line in game two. Niners down 1-0 in the bottom of the fourth. Brandon Stallman, single to left, and that will score Carson Bain. And we are tied at one. Still in the bottom of the fourth. Two on for Shane Taylor. He'll line one to left. And this is, you know, they have angels in the outfield, but this is what we're calling an error in the outfield for the Terps. Niners take advantage of it, and in comes Stallman. Charlotte goes on top 2-1. Top six, it's Kevin Keister, and that's a name I know. His dad is a friend of mine, manages AAA for the Kansas City Royals. Keister's hit ties it, and the Terps would end up taking game two by a final score of 3-2. Charlotte back in action Tuesday at the Hays. They will host Winthrop.
All right, back to football. We got some NFL news. Tampa Bay paying big bucks to Baker Mayfield, the former Panther quarterback, agreeing to a three-year deal for $100 million today with $50 million guaranteed. And according to ESPN's Adam Schefter, there's also $5 million in incentives per year, which brings the contract value up to $115 million. Now, Mayfield confirmed the deal to Schefter, saying, quote, "I wanted the chance to come back. I love Coach Bowles and the staff. I'm happy to be here, and I want to win more in the postseason." Remember, they got to the divisional round this year in his first year. And the Mac Jones era has come to an end in New England. NFL Network insiders Ian Rappaport and Tom Pelissero reporting today that the Pats are trading Mac Jones to the Jaguars for a 2024 sixth-round draft pick. Jones lost the starting job this past season in what was his third year in the NFL after throwing 10 touchdowns and 12 interceptions while leading the Pats to a 2-9 record. League trades cannot be made official until the start of the league year, which is coming up on Wednesday, but Jones is heading to Jacksonville where he'll back up Trevor Lawrence. So first starting with Baker Mayfield, congrats to him. I mean, this is well-deserved. Goes to Tampa, obviously what he went through last year here and going to the Rams. Comes here, has the best year of his career, and it turns into a big payday. The only thing is, he doesn't really have that continuity with offensive coordinators. I want to see if he can stick, if this can last longer, his production. But still, kudos to him, taking advantage, getting a big payday. Certainly well-deserved after having the best season of his career.
I mean, over 4,000 yards, 28 touchdowns, Pro Bowl. This is definitely the bounce back year, if you want to call it. But right. I didn't think it was like one of those seasons that he needed. I hate that we called it a bounce back. I understand that. But knowing what we know here in Carolina, nobody was going to succeed here. So I was excited when he came to Carolina. It was a raw deal. So I think with Baker, he proved it. Yeah. So, and then bringing back Mike Evans is going to be a huge thing as well, and how that fits in with their new OC and who they have down there. But I don't know. I'm going to bet on Baker Mayfield. People call him functional. Like, oh, he's not going to wow you. He's a functional. I don't know what's wrong with functional. If functional wins you games, why does that matter?
W's, that's all that matters. Hey, kudos to him. This is a guy that was in competition with Kyle Trask and now $100 million man. So shout out to Baker.
Excited for him. All right, well, Charlotte FC was so close to coming out of their trip to Canada with at least a draw this weekend. And coming up next, we'll hear from Dean Smith on that loss in Toronto.
Well, it's not the result they wanted, but it's the result that Charlotte FC got on Saturday. The crown fall at Toronto 1-0 on this 80th minute goal by Lorenzo Insigne. Charlotte now has a win, a loss, and a draw its first three matches of the 2024 season. And they certainly left Canada this weekend a good bit disappointed after coming up short.
It was a game that was won by a wonder goal. You know, my reflection now is that we didn't deserve to lose the game, but we didn't deserve to win it as well.
Charlotte FC back in action next Saturday in Nashville, the good old Music City.
A wonder goal.
And welcome back into Charlotte Sports Live. We are with you for another half hour. We're now just a day away from digital sports betting officially becoming legal here in North Carolina.
Yeah, tomorrow is the big day. You'll be able to bet on anything from the Panthers making it to the Super Bowl to the Hornets winning the NBA title, even if those are probably not the best bets right now. Well, several companies are already prepared for the frenzy to come on Monday. State lawmakers required all of the betting operators to form those partnerships with professional teams or venues. That includes Fanatics Sportsbook, which has partnered with the Carolina Hurricanes.
I think, you know, it's just going to provide better, safer access than probably other mechanisms that people have today, whether it's offshore books where there's uncertainty about your money. It's a highly regulated industry, as it should be.
A nonpartisan analysis by researchers in the legislature estimate that the state will make in, well, rake in about $100 million in revenue annually by the fifth year. State lawmakers are also expected to debate whether to legalize video lottery terminals when they come back in the spring. However, casinos appear to be on hold until at least next year.
Well, the Panthers have already partnered with FanDuel ahead of the big launch coming up tomorrow. Fans can expect digital signage and exclusive events at Bank of America Stadium as part of the new partnership. I'm Michael Sett, caught up with another former Panthers legend to talk betting on the black and blue.
Hi, Jonathan Stewart. You got betting in North Carolina. You're partnered with FanDuel. How much of an exciting time is this in terms of being in Charlotte and seeing a new era in sports?
Oh, man, it's fun, man. It's a fun time to be alive. No, FanDuel, number one sports betting platform in the world. And so it's really fun to be a part of that. And you know, knowing that the fans are going to have something else to look forward to as far as their sports engagement, it's pretty awesome.
All right, so you're a betting man now, literally. I mean, you literally are. Now you work for a betting company. Let's talk bets, Panthers bets. Over, under, 6 wins next year. What are you going with?
Over.
Over. Wow. All right. NFL draft coming. You got wide receivers and offensive linemen. Those are the two big needs for Carolina. If you were betting on what position and why, what the Panthers go with their first pick at 33, what are you going with?
That's a tough one because there's going to be opportunity to get a receiver or offensive lineman, I think, at that pick. And so I think our need is to protect Bryce.
Okay.
I would like to protect our quarterback, so I would go offensive line.
You're running back extraordinaire over here. You got two running backs that are coming back. We talked to Dave Canales last week, and he mentioned that Chuba going to be number one, Miles number two. What's the chances they have a good bounce back season last year and do things they didn't do last year?
Oh, if I'm a betting man, I'm betting that they go all in on the run game. Chuba, definitely showcased what his abilities are last year. And I believe Miles Sanders was able to showcase a little bit of what he can do as well. And especially with this coaching staff, they're going to be able to put both of those guys in position to win.
Well, if you're placing bets, that there is some good inside information from the extraordinary Jonathan Stewart. Thanks so much for your time, man.
No problem, man. Thanks for having me.
I appreciate it, Mike. The Carolina Hurricanes going all in at the NHL trade deadline with the hopes of lifting Lord Stanley's Cup in a few months. We'll share their big moves from this week coming up next on CSL.
All right, well, if the goal is to win a Stanley Cup, and I'm pretty sure it is, the Carolina Hurricanes are doing everything in their power to get one. Carolina was extremely active at the NHL trade deadline this past week. They acquired Jake Guentzel from the Penguins and brought in Evgeny Kuznetsov from the Capitals. Guentzel is currently on the injured reserve, so it's unclear when we will see him suit up for his new team. And BMX is one of the newest sports on the Olympic scene, with many hopefuls pedaling through Rock Hill at its world-class BMX course.
Yeah, two of which are on the hunt for gold in Paris. But as Matt Barnes explains to us, their Olympic story now heads to Cleveland, of all places.
Welcome to the Brew House, a training ground like no other. The This warehouse-turned-BMX freestyle playground was the brainchild of Nick Bruce in 2020 as a way to train, rain or shine, in his quest to make the Olympics.
How long did it take to create this masterpiece here? This is pretty cool.
Thank you. Believe it or not, we built it in less than 4 weeks.
Wow.
But we were hustling. I was here like probably 15-hour days, just not eating.
Nick has been on the BMX scene for more than a decade now. Originally inspired by the X Games growing up, he's competed all around the country and the world. But nothing compared to being one of just 9 riders in the first ever Olympic BMX freestyle competition in Tokyo.
Honestly, just qualifying for the Olympic Games in Tokyo is probably the pinnacle of my career. It was just such a changing, pivotal moment for BMX alone. And to be a part of that history, it's still something I can't fathom.
But Nick's Olympic experience was marred by injury. On the second day of practice, he crashed hard on his shoulder. He later found out he tore his rotator cuff. He was able to compete, but finished in last place.
The only disappointment was not being able to showcase the world of what I actually do. And that's just really hard, but that's also very motivating. Like, I know what I'm capable of. I know I'm a competitive rider. I know I'm medal capable. So I just used it all as motivation to get back to where I am now and to get into Paris.
About twice a week, Nick trains alongside Marcus Christopher, 10 years his junior and fellow Ohioan. Marcus drives an hour north to be here and ride with the man he calls his mentor.
We've always lived like an hour apart, and in the winters, we've always rode together from the skate parks up here in Cleveland. He was always just the guy at the park that was just insane. Just growing up, watching him doing all these crazy X Games tricks, it was always what I wanted to do. And once I got good enough, I was able to start trying those tricks. So it's always looking up to him as a better rider.
In fact, Marcus got so good, so young, Nick went to visit him to see for himself.
That was beautiful.
I can watch him ride all day long. He's so freaking good. It's very apparent when you see a talented rider in BMX. There's just so much to it. It's the ability to ride ramps and apply different tricks to all the different ramps. And Marcus has always been able to adapt to anything, even at a young age. And like seeing him do that at such a young age was just like, man, like that's not usual, or that's something very rare.
Now, training together, the two push each other to get better and go bigger. 3 American men are going for what are just 2 spots on Team USA for BMX freestyle. Nick and Marcus hope ultimately they are the ones that make it.
Just be special. I mean, grew up riding with each other, and I'd always look up to him, and he always motivated me. So to be in the Olympics with him, it would be awesome.
That's my dream. And then the fact that Marcus and I are in the Olympic qualifying series, it means a lot.
Soon, Nick and Marcus will head out to Olympic qualifying events in China and Hungary. And come July, we will find out if both mentor and mentee will go for gold in Paris. Reporting in Cleveland, I'm Matt Barnes.
Appreciate it, Matt. Certainly rooting for those guys this summer out in Paris. And then there were 4 boys and girls high school hoops is headed to the regional finals this week with a spot in the state championship on the line. We'll share the matchups coming up next.
And the Hornets have a new guy calling the shots in the front office. So what is his vision for the future for Buzz City? We go one-on-one with Jeff Peterson next here on Charlotte Sports Live.
Back here on CSL, regional finals and state finals for high school hoops in Winston-Salem this week. We have teams fighting for titles in each class. On the boys' side, tomorrow, Corvian Community High School from right here in Charlotte will face South Stokes in Class 1A at 8 p.m. Salisbury will face Reedsville in Class 2A on Wednesday night. And in Class 3A, we have an all-local matchup between Central Cabarrus and Hickory on Tuesday. Then on Thursday, we have the big one. Duke signee Isaiah Evans will lead North Met against the 2-seed Lake Norman with a trip to the state finals on the line. That game will be on Saturday. Then on the girls' side, we have just 3 teams remaining. In Class 2A, Lincoln Charter, the 12 seed, on a Cinderella run, they'll face 3rd seed East Burke on Wednesday afternoon. 2nd seed West Rowan in Class 3A will take on top-seeded AC Reynolds on Tuesday in the West Regional Final. Then on Thursday in Class 4A, Charlotte Catholic, led by future Tar Heel Blanca Thomas, will face top-seeded Watauga in the West Regional Final at 2 p.m.
All right, well, guess what, Gabe?
What's up?
The Hornets' losing streak is finally over.
How about
and
that?
There is a very good chance that they can start a winning streak again tomorrow. That's because they play the 10-53 Detroit Pistons one of the three teams behind Charlotte in the league standings. On Friday, the Hornets snapped a six-game losing streak by beating the Nets here at the Spectrum Center 110-99. Hornets guard Trey Mann is doubtful for the Pistons game. LaMelo Ball, Seth Curry, Cody Martin, Bryce McGowan, and Mark Williams have already been All right, well, Jeff Peterson was introduced Wednesday as the Executive Vice President of Basketball Operations for the Hornets. Peterson is confident he can turn things around in Charlotte, but facts are facts. This franchise is not used to winning at all that much. 8 straight years removed from the playoffs, and on top of that, they never made it out of the second round of the playoffs. In recent seasons, injuries have been an issue. We asked him at the press conference how he'll go about keeping guys on the court and not meeting their health care deductible early this season.
Yeah, Mike, I think that's a fair question. You hit it on the head. It is part of the game. Some of them, I think, have just been, quite frankly, a little bit unlucky. You know, Seth came down the other day, got his ankle, and, you know, just random things happen. You know, it is part of it. But I think, look, that's something that over these next 20, 21 games, I'm going to be able to sit back and evaluate and see if there's a way that we can, you know, avoid them. Sometimes I think you can, sometimes you can't.
So Peterson is already well established in NBA circles. The 35-year-old joined Charlotte after 4-plus seasons as the assistant general manager in Brooklyn. Prior to that, he spent 7 years with the Hawks. He was the team's assistant general manager during his final 3 seasons in Atlanta. And he can now add another line to his resume, going one-on-one with the one and only Mike Lissette.
Well, Jeff, 35 years old, I'm sure you beat a lot of people that had more experience that were a little older for this position. What do you think you said that really caught their attention and made you stand out from the crowd?
I just think the way that our vision and values were aligned between Gabe, Rick, myself. Again, the goal is to turn this thing into the premier franchise in the NBA, and we're going to do it the right way. We're not going to skip steps. We'll have a process in place, and ultimately, I just think the comfort level in terms of my character, my integrity, matching up with what they sought out in the process helped me.
All right, now we get to the hard questions here. This is a franchise that has never made it past the second round of the playoffs. They've been gone from the postseason picture for a lot of years now. How do you intend to change this and get them, as you said, to not just be good, but to be premier?
Yeah, it's important, I think, that we do not skip steps. So I have all the confidence in the world that we will get there. I can't tell you exactly when, but we're going to build it the right way, continue to bring in high-character individuals who love the game, who love to work, and you know, little by little, through the emphasis on player development, we'll continue to get better and reach that goal.
It's been said that you cannot build this team via free agency. It's not a market that attracts free agency. How do you feel about that? And if you feel you can get big-time free agents here, how do you attract them here?
Yeah, look, I disagree with that. I think, again, by showing that we're going to do this the right way and continue to build and take it a day at a time, ultimately people will see that, wow, this is a place we do want to play. It's a beautiful city. The Carolinas in general, they love basketball. They love the NBA. The fans are super passionate, excited. So I can't wait to ultimately end up, you know, people are going to want to come play with Brandon and LaMelo and just the rest of the group.
I know you have a history with Steve Clifford. You go back to your Brooklyn days, but facts are facts. You have new owners,
yep.
New person in charge of basketball operations. He's from the old regime. Where does he fit in your future plans at this point?
So, Cliff, again, I'm super fortunate that I have this little period to evaluate. But I'm also fortunate that I know Cliff as a person, and that's half the battle, just knowing him, his values, what he stands for, what he likes. So I'm glad that I have that. And then we'll take this entire period to evaluate everyone, the coaching staff and front office and et cetera.
I know you have a lot of work to do, but I will say this. You have a lot of people rooting for you. So good luck and best of luck running this franchise.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
Thank you, Mike. Well, our QC crowns are next, and 6-time Pro Bowl defensive tackle Fletcher Cox deserves some love tonight. He announced today that he is retiring from the NFL, following in the footsteps of Eagles offensive lineman Jason Kelce, who announced his retirement earlier this week. Cox leaves the sport as one of the most accomplished defensive players in Eagles history. You're watching Charlotte Sports Live. We'll be back in 2 to close out the show.
Back here on CSL, time to send you guys to bed with our QC crowns. Grace, you got the honors of going first tonight. Who you got?
All right, mine tonight going to Caitlin Clark and those Iowa Hawkeyes for winning the Big Ten title today, 94-89 over Nebraska in overtime. Caitlin Clark, here's her line, 34 points, 12 rebounds, 7 assists, and 3 steals. steals. I mean, she's just so fun
she's
to
a
watch.
Dog.
And she had 30 of her points yep. came in the second half and overtime. Just
she's going to be special. I think it's going to likely be between them and South Carolina, likely at the end of the road. Well, tonight, McCrown's going out to a Queen City product and is getting a big opportunity. West Charlotte product Justin Gray is finalizing a deal to become the new men's basketball coach at Coastal Carolina, according to multiple reports. He spent the past three seasons at Western Carolina, where he's compiled a 51-46 record, which includes a 22-win season this year. Before taking over at WCU, he was an assistant at Winthrop for 2 years. Gray will be taking over for coaching legend Cliff Ellis, who retired this past December. So a big opportunity for him. Of course, the Sun Belt, pretty competitive in hoops, as we saw with App State. Unfortunately, see App State go down, but still, tournament time this week is going to be fun. ACC tournament. Mobile sports betting coming to North Carolina. It's going to be fun.
Are you going
to
bet?
I might put a little money on something tomorrow. For Grace, I'm Gabe. We'll do it again tomorrow night. Good night, guys.